Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Strange Adventures number 195, cover date December 1966, cover price 12 cents, cover artist Jack Sparling, edited by Jack Schiff, featuring Animal Man, Hero or Freak, written by Dave Wood, art by Jack Sparling. And Star Spangled War Stories number 130, cover date December 1966, cover price 12 cents. Cover artist Russ Heath, edited by Robert Kaniger, featuring Secrets Die on Monster Island, written by Robert Kaniger, art by Jack Abel. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go go! Animal Man and Roger map the location of nearby animals so that Buddy can use his animal powers to fight crime. Meanwhile, two enemy soldiers fight dinosaurs and each other. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
There's animals and animals and animals and animals and animals and animals. Yes, Lord.
The animals are coming one by one, the old cow chewing on a caraway bun.
The animals are coming two by two, the elephant and the kangaroo. The animals are coming three by three, the bear and the bug and the bumblebee. Oh, the animals are coming four by four, the old hippopotamus stuck in the door. The animals are coming five by five, thus the animals did arrive.
Hallelujah,
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 hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb.
What's that horrible thing in your lap?
Well, it's an animal, aren't I?
Are you Animal Man?
I said it's an animal.
I know what you I said. I was trying to just move on.
I know. It's an animal. It's Willoughby, my baby. My baby kitty.
What a whirlwind week we've had, and it's not over yet.
I know. You could practically write a book about what's happened to us.
Well, first, we drove to Ohio to see the eclipse.
Which was extraordinary.
Which we saw.
Yes. I mean, it was the very definition of extraordinary. Extraordinary.
Was it?
Yes, it was fantastic.
Well, I just enjoyed the environs more than the actual event itself.
Well, because we were in a cemetery, weren't we?
Yes, we went to little tiny Middle Point, Ohio, to the cemetery where generations and generations of Dr. Bobs are buried, and just, you know, picnicked in the cemetery there.
And we went with family and met family there.
Yes.
So that was fun. It was nice to catch up with folks. We had folks up from Texas, and we had another relative up from West Virginia. And it was nice, and we stayed with your sister and saw your other sister, and it was just lovely.
But a six-hour drive, you get there and then turn around the next day and drive home.
Almost.
And then you've got to do another six-hour drive tomorrow because you're a noted authority in the state.
I'm not a noted authority. It just so happens that I have to go to an event. But, yes, what are you looking at? What's going on there?
Just making sure my mic was on.
Okay.
Because you appear to be louder than me, and I don't like that.
I'm always louder than you. Anyway, I have to go across the state for an event tomorrow night, so I will drive tomorrow 5-ish hours across the state, because we have all our state.
How exciting.
And then turn right back around on Thursday and come back.
You're so in demand.
No, well, that's... Okay, whatever. So anyway, so yes, and we've got Kitty Kitten was cared for by our delightful neighbor.
Yes.
And he is very happy and happy to have us home, and dogs are all they were. Oh, there was just such calamity when we came home, wasn't there?
Vomiting dogs and stinky butt dogs and
oh, it was awful. So I took all the I had to wipe up Junebug's vomit and take all the blankets and stuff that I had in the back of the car and throw them in the wash. And then I gave both the dogs a bath. And you had to go and teach, and you're like, I'm so sorry to leave you with this. And I said, it's fine. Get out of here. Go. Get out of here.
Yes, you threw rocks at me, just like Lassie and
just
Timmy.
Just like Lassie. So it was nice. It's really nice.
Well, you know what else is nice?
What?
Animal Man finally wearing a costume and fighting crime.
Finally.
He actually wore a costume last time we saw him, but that was the first time. Buddy Baker, of course, gained the power to assume the abilities of any animal within immediate radius.
Yes.
And he's calling himself...
Animal Man.
Well, actually, he was calling himself A-Man, and that's what everyone else in this story calls him, but the logo clearly says Animal Man.
Animal what?
Animal Man.
Thank you.
In fantastic animal print letter font.
Yes.
I wish I could get that on my Microsoft Word. I'd put all my PowerPoints in it. remember me, he says. Mm-hmm. The human being who's able to assume the powers of animals? Sure. You think it's a great blessing. You envy me. Wish you were in my place. But don't jump the gun, friend. First watch what happened when I turned my talents to crime fighting. I'll bet you'll be asking the same question. Am I
Animal Man?
Hero or freak? Sorry, I mispronounced Animal Man again.
You did.
We have Animal Man in his new costume, darting into danger while some hoodlums gonna gang up on him.
Mm-hmm.
To give him the what for. He seems to be on the docks of Midwestern City, where he lives.
Midwestern City.
I'm not sure where he lives. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we find out. His pal Roger, of course, they're quote-unquote fishing buddies.
Is that what they are, fishing buddies?
Yeah, uh-huh, because I think they were out fishing when this UFO crashed, and that's how Buddy got his animal powers.
Okay. Roger, of course, knows the secret.
Knows the secret. Mm-hmm. They are flying low over the city in a private plane.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's our neighbor.
What? Who?
Lori.
Oh, what's she doing?
She's just pulling up. Oh, and look, the walkers are walking by. Oh, this is everything. Everything's happening. Lori just pulled up. Ron just pulled up into his driveway.
Oh,
and the walkers
goodness.
Are coming. Her with her bouncing hair.
Well, the walkers are late. They usually come at five.
I saw them when I took the dogs for a walk this afternoon, didn't I? This is their second walk of the evening.
Third, because they go at 7:30 in the morning.
Though they do a midday walk. They do like four walks a day.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I'm surprised you're not there hearing you-know-who barking. He will.
I know.
Yeah.
As soon as he spots him out the window. Of course, if you're a new listener, our dog does not like the lady that walks because her hair bounces.
Yes.
Also, she's mean to him.
She doesn't like him, does she?
Well, no, because he barks at her all the time.
Her husband's okay with him.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having a cocktail?
Well, it's just a little bit of soda with vodka.
Well, that's all right. No, let's go. Let's go on.
So they're flying low over the city in a private plane because they're mapping every animal in town. So they're flying over the Animal Corner Pet Shop. Oh, that's the name of the shop, Animal Corner.
Animal Corner.
And it's on the corner. Mark it on the map, buddy. Did we check the store's stock?
In there. Yeah, he says, do we check the store's stock? And he says, sure thing. Dogs, cats, the usual domestic pets, plus a gorilla? In a pet store?
Yeah.
I remember going to pet stores in the mall, and all I saw were dogs, cats, fish, guinea pigs, and little rodents. That's it. Maybe snakes. Never
a gorilla. I did remember seeing ads in comic books where you could buy an adorable pet monkey for your home.
Really?
Yeah, and they'd send you a little capuchin monkey or something in the mail.
Oh, God.
And, of course, sea monkeys, which are not actual monkeys.
No.
So now they're flying over the city zoo. They have the list of animals there. And they have made a secret headquarters in a cavern in the wilderness where they put up their map of all locations of all known animals in the city. Mm-hmm. If you ever have to go into crime fighting action there in this one particular city, then you'll have a list of all the animals.
Do we know how long his powers last?
We don't. I think we find out a little bit, but he does have to be within a 30-yard range of the creatures
to gain the powers.
Now, what he's not telling you is that there's always birds and insects around, you would think. he could always be able to fly.
Oh, does he gain the powers of insects too? I mean, I know they
sure, they're animals, aren't they? Ain't
well,
they?
They're not in the same kingdom.
I know he can gain the power of flight with birds. I know he, in later years, he had an arm severed and he was able to regrow the arm by absorbing earthworm powers.
Wow.
Yeah. That was Grant Morrison.
Okay.
We can talk about that later. And then even later than that, he just didn't need to be near the animal at all. He would just tap into the morphogenic field of all life and he could pick like any that. Animal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all I've got to do is maneuver myself to within a 30-yard range of those creatures to assume their animal powers and utilize them to overpower lawbreakers. A real crazy situation, huh, Raj?
He says, remember, you didn't ask to become a super being. It just happened. And you're taking advantage of it.
How's he taking advantage? He's not getting any money.
I have no idea.
Flying around the city. He previously, in the previous issue, you may remember, he proposed to his girlfriend, Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're married yet. But he did gain the courage to propose. Because
the courage of a tiger. We do get a little bit of a flashback now.
Yes.
We get the foundations of why he is, what he is, and we get a page including the training sequences of how he understood his powers.
Yes, he outraced a tiger. He punched an elephant in the nose. He is swimming he's swimming like a sea lion and punching out a gorilla.
Is that supposed to be a sea lion in the water?
Well, that's what the text says. I wouldn't have known. No. It looks like a narwhal with no horn.
Well, it's so poorly drawn. It looks like a an airplane that's crashed in the water.
Yeah. I guess this is still a flashback because Buddy now, or Roger now, is training Buddy. I did appreciate this. Instead of just getting powers and automatically knowing how to use it, he's practicing jumping like a rabbit
over an object, over a cage.
Yeah, and Roger's like, no, because you've only got two legs. You've got to figure out how to land because a rabbit's got four legs.
Right.
So you've got to figure out how to do it with your two stupid human legs.
Stupid human? So, he says he can fill you in with a lot more detail, but right now we've got to mind the store. So they've got an old-timey radio.
Uh-huh. Attention all cars. Attention all cars. Burglar alarm has just been tripped at Second National Bank. Proceed there at once. Finally, a holdup in the city.
Now, Animalman's got an amazing car.
A sleek little roadster.
Love it.
He's not going to have that once he gets married. He's going to have to sell that.
Get a practical family car.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, he could have that car until they have their first child.
Sure. So, Roger's got the map. Second National Bank isn't within animal range of any pet shops. Only the aquarium is nearby, about 3 blocks away. So, they're going to corner the crooks in the vicinity of the aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about luck. The crooks make their getaway right in front of the aquarium. Buddy reaches out to assume the powers of a dolphin. What good is that going to do? He's not underwater.
I was interested when I read this to think, oh, what if he's channeling the powers of sea creatures and he can't breathe in air?
Oh. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be an interesting twist?
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't happen. He uses the power of the dolphin to ram the vehicle.
Of course, dolphins are mammals and they do breathe air. So he's safe in that respect.
Yes.
But yeah, I like this story. There's unique uses of animal powers.
Yes. Yeah.
So the power of a dolphin.
Oh, I'm all in on this story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Power of a dolphin to ram something with great force. And he knocks the car over, and then he does a dolphin jump and grabs the criminals and KOs them onto the pavement.
I guess Willoughby must have missed us.
Why?
He's sleeping at my feet.
Aww.
He never does it when we're
here. Never does. Usually he knows how the dog door works, so he takes off and
goes
cats around the neighborhood all night long. All right, there's two other crooks. They're making their escape in the subway. So this must be a big city because it's got a subway and an aquarium.
And an aquarium, yeah.
You suppose it's Baltimore?
I don't know. He hasn't tapped into the power of rats, which are on every street corner.
Good one, Rob.
Yeah.
So Roger congratulates him. Now, Roger's not hiding his identity in any way. What if someone puts two and two together and figures out Buddy's identity? So he still couldn't get all of the... He's beating himself up because he still couldn't capture all the crooks.
Well, he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, it's early days, yeah. Animal Man. The very next day, they're back in the cavern headquarters. Hoodlums are now in the city savings bank, forcing them to open up the main vault. All squad cars converge on that location immediately. I don't like that they're far out of town is where their headquarters is.
Yeah, it takes them a while to get there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They should have some.
Which I always disliked about the Batman TV show, because you'd see that sign, they'd race out of the cave in the Batmobile, and the sign said, Gotham City, 16 miles.
Oh, 16 miles.
Yes, why by the time they got there, all the criminals would be on, pawning their stuff on eBay.
Well, even at 120 miles an hour, it would take them 8 minutes to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not driving 120 in that car.
Well, they could.
They could, but they're not.
Well, they could, though.
But they're not.
But they could.
But they're not.
You don't know. They don't. They all only show them pulling out of the cave and then pulling up in front of Gotham City Police headquarters. They could be going 120, 140, 50, 60. You don't know. Well, now there's bullets flying. There's no animal that can proof against a bullet.
No. I mean, he could use the... If he was around a cheetah or something, he could maybe use quick speed.
Yes. The criminals are firing a gun at Animal Man, and they're racing down the street, and they're going to crash into Roger's, I guess it's Roger's car.
Yeah, sleek roadster. And poor Roger's going to get thrown out of the car.
Out of the car.
He doesn't have any superpowers. That's no. A hell of a thing.
So Animal Man gets him. The car is totaled. Animal Man gets Roger around the waist and pulls him into an alleyway. They are at the docks. They stagger to the end of the alley, and that's when they spotted a ship docking, the USS Safari, docking from Africa with a boatload of wild animals for stateside zoos. What a stroke of luck.
What a stroke of luck, exactly.
I've got a source of animal powers. Now sit down and watch the action.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, there's a funny thing. Buddy can feel the animal emanations hitting his body.
But not picking up their full strength.
What gives?
Well, it's because... They're all young animals. Oh, this breaks my heart.
Lion and tiger cubs and a baby gorilla. What a time for a shipment of young animals to hit port. In acquiring the strength of any of those animals, I'll still only be at half strength. This is interesting to me.
Oh, sure.
I mean, my first exposure to Animal Man was in the 80s when he... guest started in Wonder Woman, but and still was kind of this character. But then the Grant Morrison series, and I kind of had the idea that he was not absorbing the powers of individual animals, but rather the powers of a dolphin in the broadest sense.
Okay.
But here, I guess it's just still individual animals.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's in his nascent stage.
Yes. Also, I have a little bit of a problem with the idea that animals have powers because they're just, that's what they do. That's their natural state of being. It's not like a mutant gorilla that he's
absorbing. But you have to sort of let go of that and think that this is a man who is absorbing the qualities and the strengths of those creatures in comparison to a human body.
Yes, yes. I mean, I do understand the
concept. Otherwise, there's no premise for the comic whatsoever.
Sure.
Some man who happens to have some sort of strength walking around like an animal, like an idiot.
Also, a baby gorilla could still tear your shit up.
Is that kind
of criminal?
Well, it would be funny if he went to go fight them, but then he's the sort of like, because he's drawing his power from baby animals, he starts tickling them.
Or do like, goo goo, gag gag.
Yeah. And like rolls around and play fights, doesn't really fight. You know how animals are. Yes. I mean, not animals. I mean, like babies are. They're trying to develop their. They're emulating what they see in the adults.
Yes.
And learning their skills as they grow, so they don't always, you know, they're not, two baby chimpanzees aren't going to tear each other apart.
No. What if he clamps onto one of these criminals' shirt pockets and tries to feed? So he uses the agility of the baby cub lion and bounds toward the criminals, smashes some heads together. The criminals then, through their gunplay, start a fire on the dogs.
And one of the elephants, there's a fire burning close to the elephant.
Yes.
Baby elephant.
Well, he's going to have to rescue the animals now. He's no time for criminals. So he dives into the river or ocean. We don't know what city we're in still. Uses his mouth to shoot water as an elephant shoots water out of its trunk.
Which is kind of strange.
And puts the fire out.
I mean, you have to sort of let go of that because I thought about, what about, no, wait, the... What about the volume and flexibility and musculature of a mouth? You can't actually fit that much water into your mouth to do what he's doing.
Right.
But I just had to let it go. I was just like, oh, it's all right. It's okay. She's just, he's trapping into animal, elephant strength or whatever. Just let go. Let it go. Let it go.
All right. Back in headquarters, Roger's got some answers. A police report has identified the boss of the hoodlums as Graybo. And they've just robbed the art museum of valuable paintings. So, a big city has got an art museum.
Okay.
They're making their...
Oh, it's got everything. It's got a museum.
Yes, aquarium.
It's got an aquarium. It's got a loading dock.
Several banks.
And a metro.
Yes. They're making their escape westward. And that's lucky for us, Roger, because that takes the park highway right through the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And the zoo has a swarm of animals I could draw powers from. And here outside the cave just happens to be my little wild rabbit friend. So I'm going to hop my way into town.
By the way.
Yes.
So as he's leaving the lair,
yeah.
He sees a rabbit and taps into the rabbit's powers. So he's way, way far away from the rabbit and still has the rabbit's powers.
That's what I was going to say. Does he have to be in within 30 yards to acquire the power, but then he can keep the power?
I'm assuming.
For a certain period of time. He reaches the zoo. He sees Graybo and the gang making their escape, but he is not feeling any powers from the animals in the zoo. What gives? Zoo closed. Under construction.
Mm-hmm.
Sign right out front. I guess they couldn't see the sign from the air when they were flying over
mm-hmm.
in the plane, even though we clearly saw animals in cages when the plane was flying over.
Mm.
The zoo's been closed, and they've moved all the animals from the cages. There is not a beast nearby to draw powers from. What's he going to do? Well, he still has a... This is it. He still has enough of the rabbit powers left to pull a little stunt to jump into the trees.
Then he jumps into the back of the moving truck where all the valuable paintings are held and two of the criminals are in the back of the truck.
In the back of the truck with the paintings. Well, now he just starts punching. That's not a rabbit trick. That's all buddy.
Well, look at that one punch. He's flat in the guy's face.
It's a single punch. He punches two guys with one punch.
Like rabbit punches, quick punches. Rabbits can punch.
They can?
Yeah, they stand up and they go brrrr like that.
Are you thinking of kangaroos?
No, jackrabbits do that. They stand up and they go brrr. They don't hit like, bing, bing, bing. They go brrr.
Like a kangaroo.
Yeah, sure. Do you want me to pull it up and show you?
No.
Okay.
So he causes the truck to crash into a rock that's sticking up out of the road. Now they can't escape with the stolen masterpieces. Buddy recovers from the car crash. Takes off after the criminals, and luckily, there is an animal.
A snake.
A snake.
Hey, snake, and I'm going to take your powers,
your
snake.
Your slinky powers. I'm going to slink all over this ground.
And he does it.
Yes, he drops to his stomach and slinks like a snake.
Quick snake.
And then he jumps up like a cobra and...
Strikes him.
Gets Graybo. What a sneaky snake.
He's a sneaky snake. And then he gives him a good old punch.
Whammo. The police arrive just in time to see him taking off. And it's him again, that fantastic crime fighter who calls himself A-Man.
A-Man.
Once again, he returns to his cavern headquarters, where Roger's already got the daily edition of the newspaper. A-Man does it again. Criminal Grabo captured. Buddy vows, sooner or later, I'll wipe crime from this city and the country.
And you're just the guy that can do it, pal, with the powers of a man. Amen.
If I was Animal Man, you know what I'd do?
No.
I'd make friends with Crypto the Superdog.
Oh, yeah. Done. Done.
Even Streaky, Supercat, would be.
Now, later on, does he develop the powers to also get animals to help him fight?
No. You're thinking of Aquaman.
Aquaman doesn't command, he influences.
You're thinking of then Snow White, who also influences.
Oh, does she influence? I figured she just bossed those.
Aquaman around. Used to command. He could command all sea life.
Oh, really?
Including seagulls.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. Huh. And of course, Hawkman and Hawkgirl can turn talk to birds.
Do you remember our first morning in Galway, Ireland?
No, it was Dublin.
Dublin. Oh, was it Dublin?
Yeah.
When that seagull was sitting outside our window?
Yes.
That was neat. It was huge.
You talked to it, didn't you?
I did, didn't
I? Made a little friend.
Mm-hmm. I tried to speak Irish to it.
Well, how'd that work out?
I don't know. Made me laugh. Made you laugh.
Well, nice. Seagulls don't speak Irish. They speak seagull talk, which only Hawkman and Hawkgirl can talk.
Well, that's true. And I wasn't well-versed in Hawkman and Hawkgirl talk at that
time. Well, it goes something like this. I just said, good morning. No, I said, top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning.
Seagull.
I think when I talked to the seagull, I said, oh, good morning. I said, oh, wait. Good morning to you. How are you doing, Mr. Seagull?
Did you think this episode was over?
Oh, I know. It's not over, because this is a story that put me to sleep.
We have a...
Not to say it was boring. It was just like, well, I think when I read this, it was a... Sunday afternoon or something, and I was reading my stories.
A War That Time Forgot, a.k.a. Dinosaur Island story from Star Spangled War Stories number 130. Two enemies team up in... Secrets die on Monster Island.
Hey, you know what?
What?
I like a good story that involves going to an island where there are monsters, like where there are dinosaurs. Anytime. I'm always in for it.
Well, you must love The War That Time Forgot then, because it's a whole recurring series in Star Spangled War Stories.
Mm.
This is one of the most fantastic covers we've seen thus far.
Yeah.
Forced perspective, two soldiers climbing up a cliff. One's got the cliff gripped and then holding the other soldier, and while the dangling soldier is firing a gun into the mouth of a Tyrannosaurus Rex or some other kind of dinosaur.
Raptor creature.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it?
I might just redraw it and frame it.
It's really good.
It is. I told you.
Yeah.
It's the best cover ever. The Yank.
And the splash page isn't so great.
No, well, it's a different artist. This is Jack Abel, who I usually like a lot. The Yank sub-commander had to get back to HQ, that means headquarters, with his vital info, but he knew his chances were slim as he faced the double danger of the gigantic creatures and the enemy who had trailed him to the island that time forgot, where
secrets die on Monster Island.
So the guy is saying to him, is he Japanese?
Yes.
Yeah. Come on, Yank. Move if you want to live. We can beat these monsters yet, but only if we work together. I'm not going to do a Japanese voice.
No. And the American soldier thinks, yeah, but once we stop them from killing us, then I've got to stop you from killing me later.
They're being chased by a different kind of dinosaur.
Yes, it's looks like a Stegosaurus to me.
Yes.
So the mission kicks off when the American sub-commander broke open his sealed orders at sea and learned that the Japs, that's the Japanese, World War II, have a secret bomber base somewhere in this area.
Orders are that we find it, pinpoint it, and get home to tell about it. Strict radio silence all the way.
And they said it was like hunting for one ice cube at the North Pole. But the skipper kept hunting and got lucky. Enemy bombers off the port bow, Lieutenant Gray. Flying low, like coming in for a landing.
Let's have a look-see, sailor.
It was a secret base, all right. A dot of coral stuck away in a corner of the ocean. Only now, it wasn't a secret anymore.
So they mark the location, they pull the periscope down, but the enemy lookouts saw them.
They saw the sub.
Yeah. Saw the sub, and the bombers suddenly had a new target, start dropping missiles into the ocean. God.
Depth charges and everything. It's terrible.
But suddenly, a Pacific fog rolls in, the kind even a steak knife can't cut. But the Japs don't quit the hunt.
Nope.
They order all ships at sea to find the Yankee sub and destroy at all costs. The Americans, of course, are picking up the radio traffic, but they can't make it out because apparently no one on board the submarine operating in the Pacific speaks Japanese.
I guess.
That seems like a mistake.
Well, what?
What? If you're operating a submarine in the Pacific during World War II, don't you think you'd have someone on the radio that could translate Japanese?
They would have had interpreters on that.
Right.
They would have. Maybe they can't pick it up because I'm not sure that radio waves travel through the ocean the same way that they do through the air.
Oh, my friend. Water is the best conductor of sound there is.
I don't doubt that, but I don't know that radio waves travel in the same way through the water.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. I've
learned all my science from comic books.
Okay. All right. I don't know about that. I mean, I'm not doubting you.
I have good news. Someone's going to correct us if we're wrong.
So meanwhile, the enemy had been busy too.
Yeah.
Doing some plain and fancy spying on their own hook near an American. On an American-held island, yeah.
Yes.
So they say, welcome aboard, Commander Osaki. Your mission is accomplished.
Yes!
So the Jap sub wasn't taking any chances either. It dived the moment everybody was off the top deck.
So this Japanese sailor has gathered information on an American base.
Uh-huh.
So from my observation post in the hills of the American-held island, I have seen enough. The bombers on our secret base can sink every Yankee cargo ship in the area.
Mm. So later, the American and the Japanese sub-commanders were forced to surface and recharge batteries under cover of the fog. The trouble was that they both surfaced at the same time, in the same spot.
That seems like a coincidence.
I'm guessing to recharge the batteries, they need to fire up the engines that need to draw on fresh oxygen from the surface in order to charge the batteries.
That actually sounds like you know what you're talking about.
On that, I was trying to think, why would they need fresh air to recharge the batteries? The batteries would have to be charged from a petroleum-based engine that would charge the batteries, and you can't have an ignition unless you have oxygen to burn to do that.
Right.
So,
well, the deck guns on both ships open up, the shells slam into each other, and just then...
This is crazy.
Some kind of giant prehistoric crab monster up from the black depths of the uncharted sea crunched down on the hulls of the submarine, slicing through welded steel plates like they were breadsticks in a spaghetti joint. And the commander of the American sub escapes... somehow, swims to the surface, finds a life raft. He hears no cries for help, so he hauls himself aboard the life raft, keeps himself alive.
Well, you have to imagine the destruction on that scale. I mean, this is far quicker and much more destructive than firing shots at each other. This crab picks the entire sub, both subs, out of the water and crushes them. I mean, look at the scale of this crab. A man would be like a dot on the bow.
Yeah, it's like Godzilla-sized.
Yeah.
Honestly, we deserve it. The way we dig into crabs, rip them apart, and eat their sweet, sweet, juicy flesh.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Buttery.
I mean, it's just a delivery system for melted butter.
True.
Yeah.
I have some in the freezer. I think I'll have that for lunch tomorrow.
Mm.
It makes a messy lunch in front of your computer screen, but...
Well, I won't be here. I don't care.
So just then, they wake up. It's dawn. The fog is burned off. There are shots being fired at the Yankee commander in his life raft, which also, we forgot to mention, is full of grenades. There's a box of grenades there on board.
That's always helpful.
It's the Japanese agent previously referenced. He also has escaped his submarine, also in a life raft, and he is firing a rifle at the American sub-commander.
I mean, I guess he's kind of committed to his mission, but is that what you really want to do when you're in a tiny little life raft? Kill your enemy? Oh, unless maybe if he shoots him, he can see if he's got some MREs, some food or water, something he can steal from him. Yeah, I guess that would be advantageous to do that.
Sure.
Kill your enemy, take whatever they have.
The Lieutenant Gray, or Commander Gray, I forget his rank, he manages to stay out of sight of the Japanese agent all day, and when night fell, he alters his course, trying to zig and zag, and just before dawn the next day, he comes ashore a mysterious island.
That's great. He didn't have to suffer in the heat.
Too bad that the Japanese life raft is already there on the beach.
Yeah. So, and he sees it. No, the Japanese, the Japanese soldier sees it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he sees the American life raft. So the American had left the trail
as big as a... It's confusing because they both have dark hair and similar features.
Yes, they do. So the American had left a trail as big as a four-lane highway, and the Jap was up on his Boy Scout training. So he's about to fire on the American when from behind, it looks like behind the Japanese. But the Jap... But the Jap never did send that slug into Gray's back. The jungle silence was shattered by a blood-freezing sound, a gigantic dinosaur.
Yes, longtime comics fans will understand the reference when I say, this looks like Devil Dinosaur. Yeah, it's flaming red Tyrannosaurus.
It's not a good drawing of a dinosaur.
Well,
the head's out of proportion to
it. Yes, and it has big, long arms.
Yeah.
Like an Allosaurus, but an Allosaurus head wouldn't be that large, of course, as every child that loved dinosaurs knows. So the American is avoiding danger, but he does have that box of grenades.
Well, those dinosaurs aren't indestructible. I mean, a grenade would do some damage to a dinosaur.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, this one just blinds him. And flails around the jungle. The two men make their escape. Of course, they now are holding their guns on each other. Just then... Oh, also, I was going to mention this. So the American calls the Japanese soldier a nip.
What's a nip?
Well, it's short for Nipponese, which was Japanese. But the first time I saw that, I believe it was the pages of All-Star Squadron, which was a wartime superhero comic. And Dr. Fate, of all people, said, yeah, I can't wait to get those nips. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Mm.
Now I know. Once Google was invented, that was the first thing I looked up. Now another sound comes through the jungle. Yards away, it's... Stegosaurus, only it has spines
extending over
all the way to its nose.
Nose, which is not...
That's not how that
works, no.
But he does name-check Stegosaurus, the American, so he must have studied dinosaurs in school.
I guess he didn't have any sort of dinosaur sketches to go... I mean, or like artist renderings to...
Well, they didn't know. When I was growing up, I had... books from the 60s that, you know, the All About series of books, all about space, all about dinosaurs. And they didn't know what dinosaurs looked like. Mm-hmm. They still don't, honestly.
Well, they don't know what their skin looked like.
Well, I just saw a thing last week that, probably on Twitter, someone was saying like that they just base drawings of dinosaurs on skeletons and they don't, you know, they like shrink wrap.
Yeah,
the drawing, so it's like just the basic skeleton shape, and then they just draw skin around it.
Muscle and skin around it, yeah.
But they maybe are not drawing enough muscle. Like, what do they know? How do they know?
Oh,
and then they had drawings like, what if you just drew a skin around a dog skeleton and it looked like some horrible alien creature?
That's true.
So the Yank and the Jap
raced past the lumbering beast before it could turn its huge body around, and they make for the mountain. And this is the cover scene. They are climbing up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Helping each other. I like that. We're working together. Yes. But they get up to a ledge on the mountain, and what do you think now? Pterodactyls.
Oh, I love pterodactyls.
They are fantastic.
Mm.
But that's another thing. We don't know. Did pterodactyls have feathers?
Who knows?
Or fur, like bats?
Yeah.
So the monster down below is screaming with rage about its lost lunch. Well, stegosauruses were plant eaters, so not to worry about that. But pterodactyls, which they throw grenades at and fire their guns at, continue climbing. The Japanese soldier now has dropped an oilskin pouch on the rocks.
And he takes a look at it. Lieutenant Gray takes a look at it, and he says, diagrams, numbers, harbor areas mapped. This chap must have been a secret observer on one of our islands, taken off by the sub I tangled with. Enough data in there to put half our cargo fleet on a bullseye for the bombers on that secret base. We both have to get back with our info. Huh, what irony.
The American left the oilskin pouch there in the rocks, knowing where he knew they could be found.
Yeah.
Thinking the Japanese soldier will know that his information is lost, but he won't know where I hid it.
So the Jap gives him a lift last few feet, and he says, you saved me from the dinosaur, and I helped fight off the flying giants. We are even now, Yank, says the Japanese man.
Yeah, that means we shoot it out at a dozen paces.
No, we still need to help each other or work together. Who knows what other perils lurk on this cursed island? We must wait till dark, try to reach our rafts, and then go our separate ways.
So at night, they sneak down the mountain, right by a herd of sleeping monsters. The Japanese soldier says the wind is in our favor, they won't smell us, but they can hear us if we grow careless.
And they get tangled in vines.
Yes, that's what I was confused. Are these sentient? I guess they are, because the flower then attacks them. It's like a Venus flytrap situation.
Something, yeah. And then they set the woods on fire.
Yes, they both get caught up in the vines. They fire a flare gun and set the plant on fire. They race off. The monsters now are trapped in the woods by the fire.
No one likes to be burned alive.
No. They race for the beach.
With the monsters on their tails.
Right. There's no time for either one of them to assassinate the other, because they have to escape from the island, because the monsters now are coming out.
And they're running into the water.
Stampeding into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But they're too busy. The monsters are too busy easing their burns to worry about the humans escape.
And then one of the monsters gets attacked by a giant shark.
It's as big as a PT boat.
Mm-hmm.
Such as the one captained by Captain Storm.
And then the dinosaur gets angry and reaches down and plucks the giant shark out of the water and eats it like a steak.
Yeah. Lieutenant Gray is paddling. He's safe for now, but then suddenly the Japanese soldier.
That's as far as you go, Yank.
Holding a gun on him. You know too much to live. You spotted the location of our secret bomber base, and you are the only American left alive who could tell where it is. And the papers you hid back on the cliff. I saw you do it.
No.
It means nothing. All the information is locked securely in my head. Goodbye, Yank.
Suddenly, from the inky...
What's that? Oh, it's Auntie Mame.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Yankee Gail.
So suddenly, from the inky depths of the wild island waters, a huge head broke the surface, the shell of its body looking like the hulk of a barnacled ship.
It's Gamera, the giant turtle. Aye, another monster! The Japanese soldier fires his gun, but it's Gamera. There's no hope.
No, he's taken down into the depths of the sea.
Like bouncing peanuts off a brick wall. So he's drowned. The Japanese soldier drowns, essentially. Lieutenant Gray thinks at least the American shipping is safe, even if I don't make it back. But just then, dawn breaks, and an American plane flies by, spotting the captain or the lieutenant.
What incredible timing for Lieutenant Gray.
From the very beginning of this story, he's had great luck.
Well, great luck at the right time, because he did undergo a set of extraordinary circumstances. His entire submarine was destroyed.
With Lieutenant Gray's information, the secret bomber base was scrubbed from the danger list, bombed into unexistence? Inexistence? Out of existence.
Bombed out of existence.
I'm just making up words now.
Okay, thank you.
Lucky I was the one who got through. The secret information that Jap had about us died with him on Monster Island.
Yeah.
So, I love these Dinosaur Island stories.
Me too.
I don't know why someone doesn't chart it and report the information, at least to say, like, stay away.
Well, it was shrouded in fog, and then there was that whole thing where he was being pursued, where Lieutenant Gray was being pursued. He wasn't able to chart it.
Yes, but by now, this is at least the 10th story.
Well, we do know about the Bermuda Triangle. Of course, the Bermuda Triangle is in the Atlantic Ocean, not in the Pacific.
Yeah, it's very far away from... and, of course, Themyscira, at least in some stories, is hidden within the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm.
Steve Trevor knows how to get there. I wonder if Steve Trevor ever went to Monster Island. What an exciting story that would be. And Wonder Woman could rescue him?
Oh, and she battles dinosaurs?
Ooh. She can do it, too.
Yeah.
I think I'll write that story.
Okay.
Do you have anything else to add? I know you've got a very busy week. You've got to start packing and leave me alone.
I'm just sitting here
night.
Just one night, for God's sake.
We've never been apart.
That's from Willow. I was just thinking about, I got to go in there and fold laundry.
No.
Yes, I got to repack my bag.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, we just got home this afternoon, and I got to leave tomorrow morning.
It's a very quick turnaround. This must be what it's like being a celebrity.
Or a pilot.
Yes.
Or an air hostess.
Speaking of celebrities, our friend Chuck has a very new podcast called Nerd Orchestra. You can find it on your favorite podcasting app.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't for a while. I had to get cross with Apple Podcasts. But it's there now, and you may find some familiar voices on there as well. It's all about soundtracks, orchestral soundtracks of, you know, superhero, science fiction, fantasy movies. If you like us, you'll love it.
What is it called?
Nerd Orchestra.
Okay. Nerd Orchestra.
Give it a listen. Rate and review it as you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. And you can find us right back here. Well, first, you can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. And maybe there'll be a Nerd Orchestra feed on social media somewhere.
Maybe.
But also, you can find us right back here next week.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're back on track next weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
After we figure out when we're going to cut the grass.
Well, maybe I'll do it while you're out of town.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking.
You're not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it. No. All right.
Right.
Thanks so much.
Oh, you're most welcome. And thanks for listening, folks. All right.
Bye.